Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We're back with another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com, and our next guest represents a company that is definitely very familiar to the audience out there, especially if you listen to our Plant Profits series, because we've actually had their CEO, Bradley Natras, who has been on our program numerous times on Plant Profits. I would definitely recommend you go check out those shows. But with us today is the Executive Vice President of Professional Services of a fully integrated architecture, engineering, and cultivation systems integration company serving the commercial cannabis and food-focused controlled environment agriculture sector. And with me is the Senior Vice President of Design Services at Urban Grow, Sam Andrus. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and the audience.
So we're going to go very much in depth into the concept of fully integrated architecture. So really just taking the greenhouse idea and the cultivation system and really showing the complexities of it, just break it wide open and really deep dive inside what's all going on. So now, to date, you've been involved in the design of over 100 cultivation projects and 50 dispensary facilities in 21 states and 3 countries, totaling over 8 million square feet. Just give a little bit of your resume. Now let's go ahead and talk about how you were brought into the mix. Now, Urban Grow recently closed on acquiring, which has been going on for the start of the year, it's now been closed, that they acquired MJ12 Design Studio and the parent company 2WR Plus Partners, of which you serve as senior principal and partner. Now you serve on their executive leadership team, heading Urban Grow's architecture, engineering, and design offering. So talk to me about this entry with your companies, these companies coming into Urban Grow, into this fast-growing, publicly traded cannabis company.
Sure. Yeah, so kind of going back in time, 2001, we opened 2WR in Georgia. 2012, we opened 2WR in Colorado. 2013, we have the opportunity to do our first cannabis project. And, you know, at the time, we're doing a lot of government work, higher education, K through 12, military work. And we made this strategic decision that we really wanted to pursue the cannabis market, but we didn't want to blend that cannabis in with other sectors we were working in. So we launched the MJ12 Design Studio brand. And we, you know, like you said, kind of an intro, We've actually now we're up to about 130 facility designs, 21 states. I think we're actually 4 countries now. And it was a very, very successful venture for us. We dove in 100%, started attending trade shows, bringing some of our design methodologies from other sectors into the cannabis, and really dug into learning and understanding where the cannabis industry and CEA industry were headed. It was highly successful for us. And in 2019, we had our first opportunity to work with Urban Grow, and we found it to be a highly successful venture. And I know we'll talk a little later about integrated design solutions and what right. that means. But building on that, you know, I think from 2019 to 2020, did about 3 or 4 projects with Urban Grow and found it to be, you know, very successful, easier for the clients, and great ventures. Fast forward to November 2020, we get a call about an acquisition, about becoming a part of the Urban Grow team.
Let me go to ask you real quick. I'm going to follow along real quick. And I want to take a story from Colorado Hometown Weekly. So this acquisition makes Urban Grow the first fully integrated architecture, engineering, and cultivation systems operator in the cannabis controlled environmental agriculture, or CEA, space. And Bradley, who I prefaced at the start of the show, made this point, quote, "This accretive and synergistic acquisition positions Urban Grow for a strong future in the global CEA market. The company can now directly address more challenges faced by cultivators when expanding existing or designing new CEA facilities." Quote, "The inclusion of the architecture allows us now to offer our clients complete design capabilities for their cultivation, processing, extraction, and retail facilities. Moreover, the move brings the company one step closer to our goal of delivering complete end-to-end turnkey indoor CEA facilities." If you could give me a little bit of a background on what are some of the obstacles that some of these those that would hire to be have one of these spaces built out, what are some of the common things they're looking for to that they encounter or looking to try to go ahead and have as a solution for what you're providing?
So I think that as an architect, it's important that we're able to organize and coordinate teams and bring together integrated design solutions. So that in the CEA industry in the cannabis includes the water treatment, fertigation, benching, lighting, environmental control systems, fan layouts, all of those components that make up the cultivation aspect of the design. Along with that, you've got structural engineering, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, all those pieces of the puzzle that also impact the overall design and shape the project. With the Urban Grow team, we now have under one umbrella architecture, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, integrated cultivation design. So the design of benching, water treatment, lighting, fertigation, fan layouts, environmental controls, all of that's in one house. Previously, prior to this, we'd work with the client. There might be 15 people on a call, each representing different aspects of the design. Now, when we integrate all those services, it's led by the architectural team, and we bring in those other pieces of the puzzle specifically to focus on areas of their areas of design. So cultivation design, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and those people are involved in the calls on an as-needed basis. And at the end of the day, we're consolidating 15 down to 3 or 4. It simplifies the process. And then two, the other aspect is really organizing all of those components and being able to put into the documents a methodology by which you're able to tell a general contractor who's providing what pieces of equipment, who's installing that equipment, and even coordinating with the mechanical and electrical components of the design side, what the requirements are for each of these pieces of equipment, because it's very intricate. And I think that one of the things that's fascinating to me is initially when we started in this industry, architects were kind of looked at like really only a means and methods by which to get a permittable set of documents to build a facility. As the industry has evolved, clients have begun to really see more of what architects bring to the team in terms of functional flow, operations, systems, and really how to develop facilities that streamline their operations, help them get a lower cost to market and more energy efficient solutions.
There's a lot what you brought in. I'm looking from a story from MMJ Daily that you wrote an article for them talking about overcoming the building challenge. There's a lot, and I'll be happy to go and drop this link into the description for those that want to go and check this out for themselves. But if I can just take a couple of things just because of how intense you have the information you have when it comes to the types of buildings that you're looking to build. If you're looking to start up and building a space, this CEA facility, you have several different building types as well that cannabis owners can focus on, which would be pre-engineered metal buildings, conventional steel buildings, and heavy timber historic mill buildings, each with their own unique challenges as related to the cannabis industry. If you could briefly kind of just go by what each of them would be and really what are people really, if there's any particular model that's more common than others that has been asked of.
Yeah, I think, great question. It's, you know, I think that in general, let's say the first question, do you build from the ground up and build a brand new building, or do you buy something that's existing and jump in and design an interior that fits your needs? You know, when clients are kind of looking at those two different options, one of the things obviously is time and speed to market. So when you start from ground up, you've got to go through all the site development, all of the site permitting, and then erecting that building shell. And just in terms of time, you're going to add, you know, 6 to 8 months of additional time to get that online. Now, the beauty of ground up, brand new construction, is you're going to put in place exactly what you need. When you go for the, let's go shorter time frame, mold what we need into something that's existing, there are the variety of different building types of three you outlined: heavy timber, conventional steel, pre-engineered metal building. Pre-engineered metal buildings inherently are designed, basic design pre-engineered metal buildings carry about maybe 4 to 5 pounds of collateral load that they can carry, which is dead load basically on the design. When you get into cultivation, you've got ceilings, lighting, ductwork, sprinklers that all have to be supported from that system. So while the building, when you walk in, it's got these vast clear spans inherent with pre-engineered metal buildings, it may look beautiful, but then when you get in and start looking at the ability of that system to carry loads, it may not be so sweet. Now you have to upgrade the structure in order to make it work with what you're trying to put on the inside. Conventional steel, somewhat the same, because you're generally not going to design conventional steel to carry, you know, vast loads over what you actually need. But there is generally more load capacity on conventional steel than built into a pre-engineered metal building. And then I think one of the challenges with heavy timber becomes the column spacing, the breakup of the interior of space. Heavy timber inherently has more columns spaced throughout the building, and working with those columns can be difficult, especially if you're really a cultivation methodology group that focuses on larger rooms.
And like I said, I'll go ahead and make sure to go ahead and drop that link off to people if they want to go and take a look at that for themselves. But also, I would just go ahead and, in case you're not catching this and you don't have a chance to write this down, look for the MMJDaily.com article, Overcoming the Building Challenge, which is a multi-part series that you wrote. A lot of good information packed into that. So I'm here with Sam Andrews, the Senior VP of Design Services at Urban Grow, here on Blunt Business. And coming back from a short break, I want to go and talk to you about a study that was taken from the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy. They actually put out a lot of information when it comes to the controlled environment agriculture they've learned from other industries that will be very pertinent to the cannabis industry. I'm going to talk to Sam about that after a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto. at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We're back with Sam Andrus, Senior VP of Design Services at Urban Grow here on Blunt Business. And I know a lot of people that might catch the episode today, it might be a little bit in the weeds for everybody, but we're going to try to break down everything as much as we can. The understanding of integrated architecture and understanding really, I mean, for the first time I've ever heard about the controlled environment agriculture, which is, you know, I mean, I don't know if it's so much before I even ask what I'm going to go to next. Is it really just the next step, the next generation of what greenhouses are going to be now these days?
Indoor agriculture versus greenhouse?
Well, is there, what's the difference?
Great question. So indoor agriculture really is the, it gives you the ability to completely control the environmental parameters in which you're growing, and do so on a level that you can have consistency of your environment on a day-to-day basis. Greenhouse, you're utilizing the sun, you're utilizing supplemental artificial lighting. And in that, you can't really control the sun. So your ability to control that environment on a day-to-day basis is not as great as if you're, you know, fully indoor. The other thing that you know, greenhouse is really environment dependent. So where greenhouse cultivation for cannabis thrives, when you look at kind of the dry, less humid climates such as if you look at Arizona or Colorado, areas of the country where the humidity levels aren't quite as high versus the Northeast, you have the ability to use more passive systems for the cultivation. Whereas if you try to emulate those same level of environmental controls, temperature, humidity levels within the rooms in the Northeast, it would become much more expensive to do so with the mechanical systems and components that you'd have to put in place.
So in part, this controlled environment agriculture, it helps better to control the climate within, and also doesn't give any of the damaging harm that to the environment, giving back to the environment in terms of greenhouse gases or any kind of pollution that could be coming as a result. That's what you're eliminating with this type of infrastructure, plus being able to grow anywhere year-round, wherever you are.
That's correct, 100%.
Let's go into why this is such a benefit. And I want to just take again from the American Council from an Energy Efficient Economy. This study, pretty extensive. I'm going to read a little bit of the passage as they bring into the study. A variety of horticultural products are grown indoors, either in greenhouses or increasingly in fully enclosed buildings. Indoor agriculture or controlled environmental agriculture, keep an eye on that term because you're going to hear that a lot, is an energy-intensive endeavor. Cultivators must create the optimal growing conditions for a commercial crop using artificial lighting, heating, cooling, and dehumidification to mimic the ideal outdoor environment favored by each plant. As production ramps up, we are seeing increased interest in limiting the energy used to grow crops indoors. Growers, facility designers, equipment manufacturers, and efficiency program administrators are exploring opportunities to save energy and water and improve the sustainability in the industry. Now, what I want to get from that is they talk about increasing interest and limiting the energy used. So with the facilities that you're building, how are you able to do that? What are some of the things that are being done in order to limit the amount of energy being used to make it so it's a much more natural grow, and also just the, I guess, the resources needed to go in and make this work?
Great question. There within the industry, there's a lot of changes that have happened over, you know, just the last, say 7 to 8 years. 8 years ago, when we got in this industry, everything was basically high pressure sodium lighting, HPS lighting, 1,000-watt bulbs, dual end fixtures, heat intensive, great for cannabis cultivation, puts a lot of heat on the leaf of the plant, on the flower, and really helps with the growth process. The problem being that when you're cultivating, you're trying to work within a what they call vapor pressure deficit, the VPD, which is what you're doing is trying to get your temperature and your humidity levels in a zone that is optimal for transpiration of the plant, thereby the health of the plant, the growth of the plant. And so working in that VPD zone, when you've got that intense lighting, you're cooling, and generally you're cooling with the lights on somewhere in the 78 degree range. Lately, what we've seen, and really starting probably 5 years ago, has been a transition to more LED lighting. LED lighting allows you to bring the room temperature because the light's not so hot. So now instead of 78, you're more in the 82 degree range. And what that does is it lightens the load on the mechanical system and the actual size of the mechanical system. So now your mechanical systems are a little smaller, and you're getting more efficiency out of the system. You've got a lower cost to purchase the equipment and a lower operational cost of that equipment. So LED lighting is one. And then there's different types of mechanical systems that we can look at. So DX is one. So DX is direct expansion. It's basically like generally the air conditioning system in your house, a split system with a compressor on the outside and an air handler on the inside. When you put those together, you have a package unit. And those are the units that a lot of times you see rooftop package units and DX, direct expansion systems. The industry then began to look at purpose-built DX. And one of the first with that was Desert Air, who had been in the pool industry. Desert Air then took their dehumidification systems, packaged it into a DX system, and created one of the first purpose-built DX systems for the cannabis industry. There's a lot of different DX brands that have followed suit: Data Air, Zero Cool, and a handful of others. And then another option is the more like chilled water systems, so air-cooled chillers, gas-fired chillers. The beauty of those systems are the efficiency of operations, especially gas-fired chillers, where you get into an area where gas is less expensive than electricity. Now you're operating gas-fired chillers using chilled water systems, the cool boilers for the dehumidification with the coils, and basically you have a more efficient operation.
Now let's go ahead and move along real quick. There's so much here, and I'm glad you're someone that's able, that's very adept to understanding these systems, because this would be so far past my pay grade. I mean, by leaps and bounds. But let me go and move along now. And from going forward, I'm going to refer to controlled environment agriculture, or CEA, for the reference for the rest of the show. So I want to take more from this study here. Indoor agriculture is experiencing a surge of interest and investment in North America. The 2017 market value for the industry was estimated at $47 billion, with a compound annual growth rate of 3.4% estimated for the 2018 to 2023 period. The reasons for the growth are A, growing consumer interest in year-round access to a wider variety of local source food and flowers, B, concerns about food security and safety, C, expansion of legal markets for recreational and adult-use cannabis. Now, the facilities, much like what you could be using for cannabis, can produce primarily herbs, microgreens, lettuces, tomatoes, berries, and flowers. Crops are in demand year-round. They tend to command higher prices, have shorter shelf lives than other horticultural products. Moving production indoors, growers can produce multiple crops in a single year. A significant portion of cannabis cultivation can also occur in part due to local zoning and other ordinances that limit or prohibit outdoor cultivation. So that's got to be kept in mind too. In addition to the lack of interstate commerce of cannabis products, forces some growers to operate in states where the outdoor climate is not well suited for cannabis production, CEA growers face a number of barriers. Now, their study did not include cannabis growers, but financing is also a critical issue for them as well, and is exacerbated by federal limitations on banking for the industry. The other challenge that respondents identified was building-related issues like pest control and management or environmental conditions. So really, the industry is still, you know, their hands are tied in some cases, which is why going the CEA route is going to be the best and most optimal route.
I would agree. I think that, you know, again, when you talk about regionally, I think that's one of the focal points within that part of the article that, you know, especially cannabis, you know, everything is by state, can't cross state lines. So if you're in Massachusetts or Maine, you know, you're up in the Northeast, you're really limited on what you can do with the greenhouse. And not to say that you can't do greenhouse cultivation for cannabis, but it has to be, that has to be really a business decision of what you're trying to grow and what kind of crops and the number of crops that you're going to be able to harvest. When you get into, you know, Southern California, that model is going to be completely different. And the beauty of CEA is that CEA being indoor, totally indoor, what you grow, how you grow it, the number of harvests, you're maximizing your flexibility in how you approach the market. Your options are wide open.
Let's go ahead and go back to commercial. When we come back, I'm going to talk more with Sam Andrus, Senior VP of Design Services at Urban Grow. And I want to talk to you about your presentation you had coming out of the MJ Biz Conference, which, of course, we did a lot of coverage here on Cannabis Radio. Take a look for it at our Grassroots Marketing channel. I did a lot of those interviews, and you can check out that for yourselves. I want to go and ask about some of the things that were brought up there after a short break. Be right back.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
And we're back with Sam Andrus, Senior VP of Design Services at Urban Grow here on Blunt Business. This was just a little bit off subject, Sam, but I want to ask this question as we come back in. For those that are looking to go into integrated agriculture, is there anything that you ever do in terms of working on the vertical farming model where everybody's stacking not just two floors of plants, but they're doing more than that?
Multi-tier cultivation is it really comes down to a operational decision, you know, a commitment to going multi-tier. It means a different workflow. It means a different approach to, you know, how your team is coming in and working on a daily basis. It is a great way to optimize limited square footage of floor space by going vertical and taking advantage of a higher ceiling. So, you know, I think that in general, you know, when you look at kind of the, obviously the leafy greens, the food industry has done vertical farming for years. Cannabis really in the last 5 years has really started to look, especially with the advancements in LED lighting, has been able to start to take advantage of that vertical farming.
But now, has there been anyone in terms of the designs you've done of over 150 that have asked for something that was some kind of aspect of vertical farming?
Absolutely. We I would say, you know, back in 2015, probably, you know, our anything that we did that was multi-tier was really limited to veg. Today, I would say, you know, on average, probably 50 to 60% of what we do is multi-tiered cultivation.
Oh, fantastic. Let's go and talk about now, you spoke, or your team had spoken at the MJBiz conference about why cannabis cultivators in general need integrated architecture, design, and engineering services, and making the point that bringing architecture, engineering, and cultivation systems expertise together just makes good design and financial sense for cannabis cultivators, much as the ancillary business with focus expertise benefits other sectors of the cannabis industry. So for those that come in with the argument, when you have people that approach you about why they should take on integrated architecture, is there anything really basic and simple that you could say that is the overlying factor as to why it's a sound option, a sound investment?
I mean, the short answer to that is that controlled environmental agriculture is intricate. There's a lot of pieces and components that go into it. And specifically, if I talk about cannabis, there's a lot of different ways to cultivate. The one saying you'll hear over and over again in this industry is take 10 growers, put them in a room and ask them the best way to grow, and you're going to get 15 to 17 different answers. And that's a reality. So the goal in integrated cultivation design is to help basically take the cultivation methodology that's being proposed by an organization and by their grower, make sure that it's maximized to be the best and most efficient methodology or implementation of that methodology that you can make happen. At the same time, exploring how to maintain flexibility in the design so that when an owner down the road decides maybe to change their plant spacing or make modifications to that methodology, they have the flexibility to do so. And doing that with a integrated team of cultivation expertise on the fertigation, benching, lighting, fan layout, environmental control side, the expertise of the mechanical and electrical and plumbing team, along with the architectural, to be able to explore those things collaboratively in an integrated design process, it is unsurpassed. It brings to a client the opportunity to really explore endless possibilities with the focus on experience in how you get to the end result.
Let's go a little break, a little bit more, and this is where I'm going to go and direct people to the website, urban-grow.com. Let's go and talk about now where we're looking at. If you go on the website, you go right and find information on controlled environmental agriculture. And I want to just take something that your team has put out in terms of this. Quote, the complexity of cultivation systems within a cannabis cultivation facility cannot be underestimated. The use of integrated system services when building or adapting facilities not only impacts the plant health, but also the economic competitiveness of the business. Engaging cultivation systems expertise saves time and money during project design and construction, as well as developing buildings and systems that truly create profit-making opportunities once production begins. Using an integrated approach, cultivators will no longer be managing professionals from multiple disciplines who must consult back and forth with each other during the development process. So, call to action, Sam. What should companies do to work with a company like Urban Grow to adopt an engaging cultivation system?
Integrated design solutions. It's pretty simple. I think that our focus as Urban Grow is understanding a business model, a cultivation methodology, and then bringing the expertise of our team together to help them realize that vision. Maximize profitability while reducing operational costs. And the cool thing with the Urban Growth team is our services really span from initial vision, taking that all the way through to even post-operational services with the GrowCare product, where we're able to do maintenance plans on equipment that we provide, along with operational support, pest maintenance programs, and things like that. So it's not a, hey, we design it, it's built now, and we wave goodbye. We're really a partner from beginning all the way through operations. It's a solution that this industry has needed.
And on the website, you can see where it's talking about architecture, engineering, systems integration, and operational support. So even after the build, always there to help and support. So the website again, urban-gro.com. And also for those of you that, you know, I'm a little bit of a stock follower, and I do a little trading on my own. They are listed on the NASDAQ, stock ticker UGRO. Keep an eye on them. Especially when we get towards legalization, that's where you want to keep an eye on all cannabis stocks, because they're all going to do pretty well going up down the line. So, Sam, I really appreciate you taking time out to talk to us. I know, cliche, we really scratched the surface of what we really wanted to talk about when it comes to integrated architecture and controlled environmental agriculture. I really do appreciate you taking time to go and talk to us and just giving us just an idea, and I hope that this will kind of entice people to go ahead and reach out to you and learn more about the whole system and getting themselves involved in that and making the investment.
I appreciate the time. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. It's a great show. I listen to it all the time, and really excited to have had the opportunity to be here with you today. Thank you.
I'm really glad you do, and I appreciate the compliment. Anyway, folks, and I hope you listeners also enjoy listening to this program. Of course, we bring it out to you every week. I actually just took a count of how many episodes I've done since I took the show and started hosting. It's been 222 episodes, counting today, in 3 years. That's pretty – I'm surprised it's been so many for so much. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, just looking at that myself, I was like, wow, that took – time flew by fast, and that's a lot of episodes. So go back and binge. There's a whole lot to listen to. Oh, please go and do that. And folks, again, remember to go and subscribe wherever you find the podcasts, Apple, Amazon, Google, or Spotify. And we'll talk to you next time. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.